Blog Talk Radio.
Like some people I know, 2015, and in case you're ready to announce the wrong day or write that on your check, like all of us probably do, it's the 26th, not the 25th. And it's kind of helpful because we're going through the Proverbs, and so we know if we did Proverbs 25 yesterday, then Proverbs 26 is today because it correlates to the 26th of the month. Now, that's all well and good, unless you're in February and we come to Proverbs 30 or 29. Also, if you're in a month that only has 30 days, and there's a number of those. So, you know, at least in the first 30, we're going to be fairly safe with every month except for one. So, just kind of a heads up for you to remember. Oh, wow, 26th. That means tomorrow you read the 27th. And then the 28th, and then the 29th. And here's what we'll be back on Monday on the 30th. So it's your responsibility to read the 27th, 28th, and 29th on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go, wow, I'm reading at least one chapter in one book every day. And that means if I do this every month and start back over on the first, and on the last day, just read all of them. There might be two or three chapters. That in a year, in 1 year, you will have read through one book of the Bible 12 times. Pretty amazing. It's pretty easy if you get on a good Bible reading plan with one of the Bible programs out there. YouVersion is a great one. It gets on Android or iPhone stuff, iPads, iPods. And you can read through the Bible in anywhere from 90 days to a year. I think there might be a two-year plan. I've never looked at that one. But so you can just, or you can just go through the New Testament or just go through the Old Testament. Just get in a habit of reading, of hearing. If you don't like to read real well, they have the audio version of it. As you can follow along or not, just listen. Sometimes I'm really busy. I don't read it now. I kind of just listen. I don't kind of just listen. I do listen and or listen and read. But you can do that. And then you're going to go through the Bible every year that way. At least every year you're going to go through the Bible. And I think that really needs to be something that needs to be done. And even especially, quite honestly, by pastors. And I'm going to give you an example of that in just a moment. It's spending time in God's Word. I'm going to read our scripture for the day, which is the 26th, and here's what's interesting. It continues on how to deal with, how to have our relationship with, how to function with, and it starts right out today with fools. With fools, with sluggards, and gossips. So we're going to deal with some real negative people, okay? Chapter 26, verse 1, like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. A whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you should also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Who sends a message by the hand of a fool? Like the legs which hang down from the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everything, so is he who hires a fool or hires those who pass by. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. The sluggard says there is a lion in the road, and a lion is in the open square. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he's wary of bringing it to his mouth again. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes, and seven men can give a discreet answer. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, "Was I not joking?" For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contentions quiet down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross, are burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. There are some fools, some sluggards, and some gossips, and I'm going to mention a couple of them right now. I'm going to mention one of them, and I'm going to mention a godly man too, at least to begin with here. Franklin Graham just recently made a comment, and it was awesome. It was just so awesome, so profound, and so normal. I mean, lack of a better term. When he was referring back to the young man that was shot in Ferguson, Michael Brown. And there's been so many since then. But this comment he made, and then there was some comments made by Reverend Jim Wallace. Yeah, right. I mean, just putting that name in front, Reverend, that the title. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to show you the difference here. This is what Franklin Graham said. He actually posted it on Twitter. Listen up. Or on Facebook. Yes, on Facebook. Listen up, blacks, whites, Latinos, and everybody else. Most police shootings can be avoided. It comes down to respect for authority and obedience. If a police officer tells you to stop, you stop. If a police officer tells you to put your hands in the air, you put your hands in the air. It's as simple as that. Even if you think the police officer is wrong, you obey. Some of the unnecessary shootings we have seen recently might have been avoided. Now, I want to bring up some real important words there. Ready? Most police shootings, some of the unnecessary shootings might have been avoided. So what he's saying is that it is a good possibility. It increases the possibility of things being better if you obey. Now, there are jerks and creeps, and he's allowing for that in this really open statement of saying most and some and might. He is not saying all and absolutely will be. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, do we want to work towards reducing wrong shootings? Then be obedient. It's so simple. It's just simple. But people don't want anybody to tell them what to do nowadays. They just don't. Listen to what Jim Wallace said as a rebuttal. And he said this, speaking to Franklin Graham, your Facebook post makes you seem, at best, oblivious to the racial inequality in this country's policing and criminal justice system, which is also still deeply embedded in our American society. That's his first comment. So at best, it makes him seem oblivious to the racial inequality. There is nothing in his comment that says about racial inequality. As a matter of fact, it goes the other way. blacks, whites, Latinos, and everyone. Everyone. Everybody. In other words, regardless of what your race is or your status is, just everyone be obedient and obey the law. That's what he's saying. And Wallace says, oh, you're just oblivious. Really? What a knucklehead he is. But listen to what he said next. That's what really gets me. At worst, your post reflects your own racial biases, unconscious or conscious. It makes me sad to read such things coming from a leader in your position. So until you are equally willing to listen up, please stop making such embarrassing and divisive statements. Embarrassing and divisive statements. Now I'm going to read Franklin Graham's statement again. Let's see if it's embarrassing and divisive. Listen up, black, whites, Latinos, everyone. Most police shootings can be avoided. It comes down to respect for authority and obedience. If a police officer tells you to stop, you stop. If a police officer tells you to put your hands in the air, you put your hands in the air. It's as simple as that. Even if you think the police officer is wrong, you obey. Some of the unnecessary shootings we have seen recently might have been avoided. How, in your giant stretch of imagination, is that showing that Franklin Graham has racial biases? And is it making a statement that is embarrassing and divisive? Only if you want to break the law and do whatever you want. Only if you want to say, hey, the man doesn't tell me what to do. Remember what I said yesterday about old rinky-dink? The man doesn't tell me what to do. The man doesn't tell me what to do. You can spot fools. Sluggards, because they're like attached to their bed. They never get up. They don't stop resting. It's not a little folding of the hands, a little something, a little bit. They live there. They're attached. That's why I said about door swinging on its hinges. Yeah, door swinging on its hinges. That's how the sluggard is on his bed, attached to it. And gossips. I'm just saying all this stuff straight out, right out loud, and I would say it out loud in front of these guys' faces. I would tell Jim Wallace he's a fool, an absolute fool. What stupid statements. It actually goes on, and other people wrote an open letter and said that Franklin Graham's comments betrayed the confidence that your brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those of color, have afforded your father's ministry for decades. Your instructions oversimplified a complex and critical problem facing the nation and minimizing the testimonies and wisdom of people of color. Really? 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 You know, that's insane. That comment and that letter, and I don't see who signed it. I sure wished I knew who signed it. I mentioned them all by name, whoever signed it. You know, it's supposed to be other leaders, evangelical leaders. They're about as evangelical as Satan. Okay, listen. Ann Graham always writes with such simplicity, and it's so wonderful. When we originally started our ministry, which is Lighthouse Christian Fellowship, we were called Set Free for years. Because that's obviously what God has done for every single Christian. Now, believe it or not, there's some other indications and some other things that happen that show what it is to be set free. You can take a bear or a cougar, and you can capture it in like maybe in a neighborhood or something, and then set it free out in the wild. And it doesn't turn around and come back and attack the people that set it free. It's gone. Okay, it's history. The scripture says this: you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness, Romans 6:18. And Graham writes this, Watts writes this: with blood flowing from his wounds and streaming down his face from the thorns in his brow, Jesus stood before Pilate. As part of the Passover celebration, it was Pilate's custom to release any prisoner the crowd chose. It just so happened that at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So Pilate asked him, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? Matthew 27:16-17. The rulers, the people, they shouted back, no, not him, give us Barabbas, John 18:40. Barabbas. Barabbas was a thief and a murderer and a rabble-rouser. The religious leaders of Israel were demanding that Barabbas be set free and Jesus be crucified. Because they said, what do you want me to do with him? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so Barabbas became the first person to be set free by the death of Jesus. Think about that. A murderer, a thief, a guy that caused grief and trouble wherever he was set free by the death of Jesus. Now, Jesus died, and goes on to write, not just in the place of Barabbas, but in your place and in my place. And because he died, I am free. You are free. I am free from my sin and its penalty. You are free from its sin and its penalty. Now, here's the deal. From your sin and your penalty, here's the deal. Are you going to walk in that? See, we could now really do a presupposition about Barabbas. What happened to him? I mean, if somebody actually came in and took your place, you see, we use this as an example sometimes. Jesus took your place. Well, if you use that with a person that doesn't think they did anything wrong, they're going to think you're crazy. Okay? So I think, no matter how what a rascal this guy was, and he was a murderer and a thief and a troublemaker, he had to know, this guy I don't even know. What's he doing? What is this about? And he took my place. Even though it wasn't necessarily personal at that point, he does know that he was released. So you could build all kinds of stuff. I think there's actually been a movie written about Barabbas and done in Hollywood. If there hasn't, there probably should be. And well, if there is, they'll probably mess it up. But what happened to Barabbas? I don't know. Did he actually turn? I don't know. Did he get saved? Did he come to Christ? Was he one of the first converts? I don't know. I don't know. That's all speculatory. But this I do know. You can be Barabbas. You got stuff in your life. You got something in your life that is has kept you from fellowship with God, has kept you from fellowship with other people. Maybe things in your past or things you're involved in right now. I don't know. The Lord, Jesus Christ, came to die. He gave his life willingly. He submitted to that. He wasn't murdered. It wasn't killing Jesus like old Billy O'Reilly says. Gave his life. He came to die. His purpose was to come and to die. And when we try to get everything so fleshly, so human, we remove the deity of Jesus Christ. He was not a good man. He was not a prophet. He was not a great guy that died and is now dead. He is God. Was, is, and always will be. God became flesh. You don't believe it? Read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18, 19. You'll see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Okay, the Word was with God, the Word is God. Whatever the Word is, whoever the Word is God. Verse 14, and he became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So in other words, Jesus is the Word. He's God. Jesus is God in human flesh. You want to see what Jesus, you want to see what God looks like, look at Jesus. You want to know God, know Jesus. And how do we know him now? Well, he died, yes, but he on the third day he raised. See, we're coming up to this is a Palm Sunday, meaning it's when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. It looked triumphant, the triumphant entry. A lot of places in different Bibles will say the triumphant entry is a title. That isn't in the scripture, but they put it in their Bibles. The triumphant entry, rides in on a donkey. 1 week later, he's hanging on a cross and dying. Think about that. Actually, less than that, but I mean, the next week he's hanging on a cross. By Friday, he's dying. Sunday, the third day, he rises from the dead. Now, what happens at that point? When he appears to many over a period of 40 days, then he ascends and he sits down at the right hand of the Father. Now, if you don't understand it, what it means is that shows completion. It is finished. There's no more that needs to happen for you to be redeemed, for you to be saved, for you to be born again, for you, except for you to submit and become obedient. There's so many Christians out there that are like this Jim Wallace. They want to be civilly disobedient even to God. When God tells them to do something that they don't like to do, they say, I don't have to do that. That's why we have these guys out here that think that it's okay to say, hey, the man ain't telling me what to do. Because if you say the man ain't going to tell you what to do, then the next step is very simple, and it's not a quantum leap. God ain't going to tell me what to do. And God's not going to spoil my fun. We may just say, I don't think God wants to spoil my fun. Or we may say, oh, God ain't going to spoil my fun, however arrogant it is. We sound very simple, but it's still the same disobedience. Disobedience doesn't cut it with God. And anybody that's a parent, not a parent, but a parent has children, can tell you what beauty there is when a child is obedient, what peace there is, what joy there is, what comfort there is when a child is obedient. Even if they don't know Christ and they're not godly people, and they tell their child to do something, their child joyfully, willfully says, yes, Mom, or yes, Dad, and does it. The parents are just going like, wow, I got the greatest kid on the face of this earth. I just ask them one time to do the, what their chores are, and they do them with joy. That's just, I don't know that that can happen outside of Christ, but I imagine it can. But the parents themselves would just be overjoyed. I know people abuse all that, and you turn their kids into slaves and all that kind of junk. But I'm talking about when you add Christ into this whole mix, and you realize, wow, now we can understand. This is how I'm going to function with people. This is what I'm going to do with people. This is how I'm going to look at situations. I'm going to look at it godly. And how am I going to do that? I've got to get into the Word. If you're not in the Word, if you don't read the Word, you're not going to know how to do that. I mean, you might be a pretty nice guy or gal and do some good stuff, but we need to know, what does God want us to do? Well, what did Jesus do? And if we call ourselves Christians, then let's do what Jesus did. I got to tell you one more little thing on my heart right now, and I would ask you to pray for it because it's I don't even know how to say it. It's sickening, okay? It's sickening. I don't know. I've never met this man, and I'm guessing, and I'm going to ask Marie, M-O-D-D-E-R, would you say it's motor or modder? M-O-D-D-E-R, modder? Okay. We're going to call him Chaplain Wes Motter. Now, if I'm wrong and anybody hears this or you know, correct me. So you jump into the channel, type it in there, right? I'm going to say Motter. Chaplain Wes Motter, Navy chaplain who was actually attached to the Navy SEALs, was actually a chaplain to the Navy SEALs and other different groups, been removed as a chaplain, told to, quote, clean out his desk. He had a chaplain's assistant come in who was a homosexual, and there was some counseling that went on, and this man is a Assembly God chaplain, just a cool guy, and he gave biblical counseling about and what he feels about sexuality and what he feels about marriage and those situations, and so they shut him down. Listen, as a result, the base commander, commanding officer at Naval Nuclear Power Training Command, Captain J.R. Foz, removed Captain Motter, Chaplain Motter from his position, from his unit, and told him to clean out his desk. And so you think that's bad. Well, check this out. The chaplain received word of the death of someone in his previous unit last week. So he got into action, doing what chaplains do. But his commander stepped in and told him the equivalent of this. I get a restraining order on you. He said he was told he was not allowed to do any ministry to those people because he had a no-contact order. In fact, the unit was planning to have a memorial service coming up on Thursday, and they've actually asked him to leave the base for that day. They don't even want him in the vicinity or on the same base when this memorial service happens. One of the most important things chaplains do is provide comfort and care after tragic death, Motter said. I'm heartbroken, broken for the family, and yet the Navy won't allow me to do my job of helping them grieve and mourn. I read that this morning, and I actually could feel my blood pressure. I could actually feel my heart pulsing through my head, man. This is insane. This is as insane as it gets. You actually have a Christian chaplain, someone who loves Christ, someone who has ministered to people who are not Christians and has ministered to people who are Christians. So we need to know that. I mean, it's effectively ministering across the board. It doesn't say you have to be an assembly guy, you have to be this, just coming alongside them and helping them and encouraging them. I'm told not to do it. This guy is not just your everyday chaplain. He served for years in the Marine Corps, got out of the Marine Corps, went into the Navy as a chaplain, was called into the ministry. It was a phenomenal story. You can read up on him. and see what he has to say. But I would just say, you know what, if you have an opportunity, check out, in fact, go to AFA Action Alert, AFA, American Family Association Action Alert, go to their Action Alerts, and you have an opportunity there to be able to take action. You can call your representative, you can call your senators, their phone numbers are listed there. You just click on the link, it'll give you your state, your area's name and all that, and get a hold of them. Say something to them. Tell them how you just do not support this and will not support this no matter what. That'd be awesome if we all could do that. I'm not sure that it will really make any giant difference instantly, but if we had enough people, it would probably make a large, larger difference. So you guys have a wonderful weekend. Awesome weekend. Remember, read chapter 27, 28, and 29 of Proverbs, and we'll see you guys back here on the 30th of March on Monday at 11 o'clock. God bless.